starting today with the latest on COVID-19. There are 822 patients currently hospitalized with the virus in Colorado as of yesterday, and the seven-day moving average positivity rate decreased to 6.4%, according to the latest data from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Additionally, about 224,000 people have been immunized with one dose of the vaccine as of January 14th, and 47,000 have been immunized with two doses. Both vaccines currently authorized are about 95% effective and require two doses to achieve immunization. Calls for Colorado's newly elected Congressmember Lauren Boebert to resign are increasing across Colorado's 3rd District. Elected officials want an investigation into Boebert's connection with the mob that stormed the Capitol last week. COTO's Julia Caulfield has more.
Nearly 70 elected officials from across Colorado's 3rd Congressional District signed on to a letter condemning U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert for, quote, her association with the right-wing groups that supported the insurrection of the Capitol building last week.
A group of us sort of, we woke up the morning after and just thought, you know, we have some level of responsibility here as elected officials to reach out. So we started talking through sort of what those actions should be.
That's San Miguel County Commissioner Hillary Cooper. She helped to draft the letter, which on Tuesday was sent to House leadership. That's Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy.
Our goal was to draft something that specifically referred to what our roles as representatives are and how we interpret those roles and how we expect our representative in Congress to do the same.
The letter goes on to say, quote, Representative Boebert's actions, including her statements on the floor immediately preceding the insurrection and her social media posts leading up to the riots, were irresponsible and reprehensible, unquote. Mountain Village Town Council member Natalie Binder signed on to the letter. She says she hopes the message from local elected officials shows Representative Boebert what the 3rd Congressional District actually wants and needs. She points to the speech Boebert gave on the House floor directly before the siege on the Capitol.
She made comments related to, I have supporters outside of this House that want answers. And I think that that kind of language incites anger. And especially representing a rural community where there is, you know, severe job loss and other things. And here we are focused on an election that we know was fair and has been proven to be fair. And I think inciting that kind of divisiveness does not help us move forward to a path of bringing rural America more prosperity, jobs, and COVID relief.
The letter also asks leadership to investigate Boebert's actions. Here's Cooper.
While we condemn her actions and some of the statements that she made, we wanted to very specifically ask that there be an investigation opened up to determine if any of her actions were directly associated with those who breached the Capitol.
But for Telluride Mayor Delaney Young, the letter doesn't go far enough.
I think our letter carries weight. I don't think it was strong enough. She's made it very clear that she really is only representing one small faction of people from our district. We need leaders who are going to represent everyone. And she has made it perfectly clear she has no intention of doing that. She should not be serving in that seat.
Representative Boebert responded to the letter via email, commenting the violence at the Capitol last week was, quote, indefensible. She goes on to say she, quote, followed the Constitution and historical precedent to object to Electoral College votes. And she does not support, quote, unlawful acts of violence. In total, 68 elected officials from the 3rd Congressional District, from Durango to Aspen, Eagle County to Pueblo, signed the letter.
And again, thank you to Julia Caulfield with KOTO. When President-elect Joe Biden takes the reins next Wednesday, Colorado lawmakers will ask him to overturn a decision made by President Donald Trump to move the U.S. Space Command in Colorado Springs to Huntsville, Alabama. KGNU Steve Miller says it's already likely that a congressional probe will be requested to determine how the decision was reached, which many suspect was purely political.
Several Pentagon insiders and lawmakers say the move bypassed the military's top pick of Colorado Springs, the unit's current home. 9news.com reports that Colorado Springs Republican U.S. Representative Doug Lamborn, a Trump loyalist, decided to break with the administration. Lamborn believes that the administration's decision was probably made when political advisors gave bad information. He went on to say that competition between any other facility would have Colorado on top, and he added that relocating Spacecom would materially damage national security. Colorado Governor Jared Polis said that reports say that the in-depth military process found Colorado Springs to be the best location for military readiness and cost. Polis feels that this move threatens jobs in the Springs area and could cause serious economic damage. The U.S. Space Command had been temporarily located to Colorado Springs in 2020, and the Air Force decided to keep the command in Colorado Springs until at least 2026. If Congress is to investigate what motivated the decision, information requests made by the public would be taken into consideration. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Meanwhile, a government watchdog group, Accountable U.S., is calling on President-elect Biden and Congress to reverse harmful Trump administration policies that jeopardized climate protections and were finalized over the last 4 years, charging that most were favors to industry and former lobbyists for large corporations that focused on maximizing profits, not protecting the environment. A spokesperson for the group, Chris Sager, says the incoming Biden administration and Congress are duty-bound to fix the damage done over the past 4 years as quickly as possible. Some of the protections they hope the new administration will restore include the halt of any lease sales or oil production in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, reinstatement of rules to prevent fracking companies from abusing weak state regulations, and reinforcement of strong standards for vehicles' fuel and carbon dioxide emissions. The group is also calling on the Biden administration to reinstate reputable climate scientists who were removed and replaced by science skeptics by the Trump administration. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment will partner with ID.me to implement an identification verification system required under the latest federal stimulus package that officials also hope will cut down on the amount of fraud within both the regular and federal unemployment insurance system. Colorado has until January 26 to implement that new federal ID verification requirement. At the same time, state officials don't expect to start paying extended unemployment benefits until late January or early February, matching their earlier projections. Congress approved the new benefits with a second stimulus package late last month. The law includes between 11 and 15 additional weeks of unemployment benefits for both regular unemployment and the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, along with a $300 boost for 11 weeks. With the Colorado legislature back at work this week, the state's largest union of educators is calling on lawmakers to increase funding, make classrooms safe, and help attract and retain top-notch teachers. Annie Baca-Olert with the Colorado Education Association says she's looking forward to working with lawmakers to ensure that educators get the resources they need to provide students with a quality public education, regardless of their zip code or the amount of money their family earns.
In a time where we are trying to address the needs in a global pandemic in educating our students, we need the legislature to prioritize funding for our students and for our public schools.
Last spring, lost revenues in the economic fallout of the public health emergency led to state lawmakers increasing what's known as the budget stabilization factor, or the amount the state could underfund public education, to more than $1 billion. Baca-Olert believes it's time for the state to find new revenue sources, and that includes closing corporate tax loopholes, which she says take vital resources out of state during a time of great need for public services, including schools.
Prior to COVID-19, we had one of the strongest economies in the country, but one of the most underfunded public education systems in the country. So we know that we have to do better.
Interviews will continue today for Boulder residents who've applied for a spot on Boulder's first community police oversight panel. The panel will review complaints and investigate files and make disciplinary policy and training recommendations to the Boulder Police Department. That, according to the city, in addition to the police oversight panel, the city last summer hired its first independent police monitor. The interviews are being streamed live on the city's website at boulder.colorado.gov. That's 4:30 to 7 o'clock today. Well, if you're the kind of nerdy person like me who keeps track of this kind of thing, today's sunset will be at 4:59 p.m., and that will be the last sunset before 5 p.m. for the next 10 months. And that means more light to walk the dog or get outdoors in your afternoon, and also means the first day of spring on March 20th is really not that far off.